I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Epic victories, heartbreaking defeats. No matter your team, no matter your game, we talk sports on AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, let's make you a smarter Buffalo Bills fan. We're joined, as we are every Wednesday at this time, with ESPN NFL Nation reporter Marcel Louis-Jacques, covering the Buffalo Bills. And Marcel, nothing like getting your mind off of a poor performance on Monday by making some news by releasing players, injury reports. Marcel, how you holding up, buddy?
I'm good. You know, it was kind of funny seeing everything happen in real time. You know, we were at practice today and a little bit of light rain, nothing crazy, nothing enough, not enough to make them move it inside. But, start to realize, okay, well, Spain's not here. And then I think it was Sal Capaccio was the first to see his tweet and saying, hey, Quentin Spain's saying goodbye. And, a PR team was just kind of, a couple of them went inside. Others just said, got no comment. And soon after, the team actually released its statement saying that Spain had been released. And everybody all of a sudden, I don't remember anything that happened at practice after that. Josh Allen could have taken snaps at wide receiver and I would not have seen it. We were, I think a lot of us were trying to write from our phones there. And thank God we live in 2020.
Yeah.
It's the first time that's ever been said.
Yeah, I think you had a full charge on that phone, Marcel. How did we get from he's one of the cornerstones on this offensive line, you bring him back for 3 years, to, okay, now he's been demoted, now he's off the team? How do we go from here to there?
This is something, and I'm going to try to advance Ryan's guess or his hypothesis there and say, I have been hearing that the Bills were trying to trade Quentin Spain. I've been hearing that since the Rams game, so we'll call it a month. Clearly looks like no suitors, and they wanted to do right by him in this sense by allowing him to choose his next destination. But after speaking with Brandon Bean today, it just sounds like, this is something. It just didn't work out for him this year, and wanted to be clear that it wasn't a matter of, this is a guy who signed his big contract and all of a sudden, it's in his head and he's not working hard anymore. That's not the case. This was he was the Iron Bill winner. Throughout the offseason, guys had to send their workouts, send their diets, what they're eating, what they're doing. And Bean said that Quentin Spain led that way from end to end. So this was not a matter of a diminished work ethic. But I think ultimately the team wanted to put Cody Ford at guard. And eventually with John Feliciano coming back, they like Feliciano, I think, more than they like Quentin Spain. And Spain is an expensive backup right now. Hence the trade the trade attempt before ultimately releasing him.
They that love with Darrell Williams at right tackle, that they won't consider Cody Ford at that position moving forward, Marcel?
I think Cody Ford is just, he's a better guard than tackle. That's kind of the only way to put it here. From what, I've got sources around the league who have told me, he could be a good tackle, he could be a good right tackle, but he can be a Hall of Fame guard. And I think it's something that the Bills kind of came to terms with, they kind of realized. But it's also, it is interesting what Brandon said, that they were trying to experiment with lineups basically as the season went on. So they're experimenting in real time. There was no preseason to see, you know, which five is their best five. And through a few games here, through six games here, they decided that Quinton Spain ultimately was not one of their best five linemen.
Well, and this frees up a roster spot. Can we connect dots here at all? Are we close to a return for John Feliciano?
I think that's fair to say, because I don't think this is a move they make without an immediate answer waiting. And Sean, I asked Sean specifically how close Feliciano is to returning. And he said he didn't want to announce that, he didn't want to say, because he didn't want to directly influence an opponent. In previous weeks, when he's been asked that question about Feliciano, you know, he's been open, progressing. He's going to practice. He's got an answer. But this is telling me, I think Feliciano is coming back this week. Also heard from Bain that, you know, there are some moves in the making. Obviously didn't want to be specific, but, you know, just keep your head on a swivel here. You know, there have been a lot of, said he's fielded a lot of calls from teams, you know, that are asking about certain players via, you know, their availability via trade. And he said he was confident that, you know, Quinton Spain would have been one of those names. I'm hesitant to believe that given the fact that he traded him or he released him. But, you know, I think we can expect a couple moves out of One Bills Drive over the next couple weeks.
Now, Marcel, as we're talking here, and if you see your phone, we just got the alert. As I ask you the question, who's going to fill the roster spot? The Bills just did it, but it wasn't Feliciano. They promote Justin Zimmer to the active 53, which he was up last week. And I guess we could say there, I mean, he's got to be like, what, the lone bright spot on the defense last week? So your thoughts on Zimmer getting the promotion?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he played well given the predicament he was in, given the spot that they put him in. And at this point, you just have to, if you're Buffalo, you have to try something new. You have to do something different, because banging your head against the wall with the same defensive line, the same personnel groupings, it's not going to work. And, you know, interesting note that I think I first heard from Matt Fairburn of The Athletic. This is the highest paid defensive line in the NFL.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Does this look like the highest paid defensive line in the NFL right now? Absolutely not. Just absolutely not. They're paying $10 million plus for Jerry Hughes, $10 plus for Mario Addison, $9. I think Trent Murphy's cap hit this year is $9.78 in that territory. And this is not the kind of production you would expect out of a line like that, especially one that lacks a premier pass rusher. And that's no disrespect to Jerry Hughes and Mario Addison, both of whom are good players, both of whom who have had good careers. But there is, you know, there's no DeMarcus Lawrence on this line. There's no Yannick Ngakoue. There's no, you know, well, there is a Josh Allen, but you know what I'm getting at. There's no edge rusher, premier edge rusher on this team. And that's usually what you would expect to see out of A-League's highest paid defensive line.
Marcel, we spent some time yesterday as we were kind of deconstructing the loss and the play of the defense and the defensive line specifically. That thing that we kind of underestimated and, you know, happened so early in the preseason that we just kind of said, oh, well, that's just a guy that's going to be walking away. A guy that, you know, a lot of fans, I think, would look at his stat sheet and say, why are you paying him all of that money? And it's Star Lotulelei. And whenever you got questioned about Star, you'd hear Sean McDermott say, look, there's a lot of things he does that we like that don't show up on the stat sheet. And I guess mainly that would be, you know, taking up two bodies of an offensive line when you've got guys now that are only taking up one and making it really easy for other teams to run the ball against you. Talk about the impact of losing Star now that we're six games into the season, now that we've seen this defense act like a sieve against opposing running backs. That guy's missed.
Yeah, he is missed. And this is something that I think I've been saying for a while. This is something we've been hearing for a while, that Star Lotulelei's impact goes beyond the stat sheet. He is a huge body. He's their best one-tech defensive tackle. And most importantly, he attracts attention and he opens up pass lanes for guys like Hughes. In theory, it would for a guy like Mario Addison as well. But and of course, Ed Oliver, the first-round pick, who's yet to make that big impact so far in year two. So they're missing him right now. And I think, you know, Harrison Phillips, they're excited about him. This is a player that, you know, Harrison Phillips is a player that they like, obviously. and great in the community. But right now in his career, he's not star. He's not star Lotulelei. And I think fans, you know, because of the contract Star signed and because of maybe their own personal feelings about him and whether or not he's worth that money, I think a lot of people wrote his opt-out off as insignificant. But I'm here, I mean, from people around the league that I talked to have noticed, you know, when they say, yeah, the Bills defense is struggling, they specifically point to the loss of Star.
How about the guy in the middle of this defense? And I saw some of your interactions with some fans on Twitter in regards to Tremaine Edmonds. Can we use this shoulder injury as an excuse? Is he playing hurt right now? Is that impacting anything at all, Marcel?
Oh, he's playing hurt. Yeah, and that's there's no doubt about it. But I think we've said before that if you are not too hurt to play, if you're going to tough it out, then, you know, there is a reasonable expectation about your level of play. Like, you're expected to be able to play to the best of your ability, to give 100%. And if you can't, then don't play. So I think he is struggling with that. And I think, you know, dealing with injury, especially one, you know, shoulder injury where there is no avoiding it. You play a physical position and there's no avoiding contact with that shoulder. I think it gets in your head a little bit. I think there's a mental aspect of it. You know, do I really want to engage in this block? Do I really want to charge full speed ahead? Can I finesse my way into making a play here? And I think he might be overthinking it. There were signs he was better against Tennessee. He was not as good, of course, against Kansas City. But I also really need people to remember, I usually don't, you know, I like to have fun on Twitter and social media, but like it irks me a lot when people think that, you know, the media is too soft. The media doesn't want to ask these questions. They would never do this. They're scared of this. No, but it is not as cut and dry as hopping on a Zoom call and saying, "Hey guys, why is Tremaine Edmonds bad?" It's not that simple. And, you know, I don't dwell on things like this, but it is a little annoying to hear from people who don't do this job and people who sputter and stammer if they meet these guys in person. Like, there's more to it than that. You know, there's more to reporting and covering a team and beat writing than blurting out the feelings of fans.
Yeah, I mean, look, emotions are high. You invested a lot in Tremaine Edmonds and expect a high return. There's another guy that was a first-round pick that, you know, the same could be said about Ed Oliver. I know the fans are very emotional about Ed Oliver. And when is he going to show up? And when is he going to stop getting pushed around? What have you seen out of the play out of Ed Oliver so far this year? Again, without Star Lotulelei there on that line with him, what's up with Ed?
I mean, he's not at that level yet. He's not an Aaron Donald type player yet where, you know, he can be doubled, tripled, whatever. He can be the focal point of an offensive line and still produce at a high level. You know, he's still very much learning. He's learning the game. I don't think that he's been necessarily the problem. I think one thing that I've noticed as I watch film is how often he is one of the first people around the ball carrier once that ball reaches the second and third level of the defense. You know, he doesn't give up on plays. And, you know, that kind of body language, that kind of mentality, when you hear players say that this locker room's not giving up, this locker room's still playing hard, that adds some legitimacy to it. But he's not the only one, let's just say that. He's not the only one that the team needs and is expecting more out of. And they are very lucky that they have the New York Jets this week. It's just a way to, you know, sometimes shooters need to see the ball go in the hoop. And this is a good week to see that ball go in the hoop.
Yeah, especially on the other side. Marcel, we're 13 minutes into the conversation. Well, you referenced Josh Allen, but not that Josh Allen. About the Bills quarterback, Josh Allen here. You know, did the Titans provide a blueprint? Because if they did, Marcel, when I look at this Jets secondary and the first time that they go around, they don't have the ability to do anything. This is the ultimate get-right week for Josh, is it not?
It is, but I asked them specifically about that. Like, if it's, you know, if it's ever okay to view a week as a get right game. He said it never is. It's hard to win in this league, no matter who you're playing. But the Titans did. They did provide a blueprint. They did put those safeties back and prevent those big chunk plays to Diggs and Brown. And I think that's why we're seeing a lot more of, you know, Diggs is a complete guy at all levels of the field. So his involvement has increased. But we're seeing Cole Beasley kind of take over as the number two or 1B receiver right now, because that's what defenses are giving. And I think that's kind of, you know, if I'm a fantasy player, which I am, I would pick up Cole Beasley and start him, which I do, you know, repeat it. I have for the past couple of weeks. Because when you hear Josh Allen say things like, I have to take what the defense is giving me. I have to take these underneath routes and I have to make those safeties come back down. I have to make these defenses start to take away the outlets. That tells me they're trying to funnel the ball to Beasley. They're trying to funnel the ball to Diggs in an effort to open up the splashing plays,
By the way, Marcel, I mean, you mentioned Diggs, and watching him on Monday might have been the lone bright spot. I mean, he's just so, so good. And when you see that connection happen, it's something that I think Bills fans have been looking for and yearning for so long. So there is something to that passing game. But I think that passing game opens up even more when you have just somewhat of an ability to run the football. We just haven't seen it this year out of Devin Singletary, even though he hasn't faced a ton of eight and greater man boxes. He's still, I mean, he's not getting the holes. He's not getting, what are your eyes seeing when you watch Devin Singletary play, and how can we get this run game moving again for the Buffalo Bills?
It is kind of an issue, but what we heard from Dable yesterday was Devin Singletary, he's still making guys miss, and that's kind of his trademark. That's been his trademark skill over the past couple of years, is making that first guy miss. The problem is the Bills rank toward the bottom of the league in run block win rates. And that's kind of a product of this shuffling, the constantly shuffling line. And I still think Singletary, he's making the proper reads. He's doing what he can. It's just not clicking. And I think that has to do with just having to make too many people miss at the same time, too close to the time that he actually gets the ball. It's not a case like Zach Moss. I think Zach Moss is hesitating to hit these holes hard. I think he's not going with his first read. There was a run specifically. I can't tell you the exact down and distance, but there was a run where he got the handoff and he kind of stutter stepped as soon as he took it, as he's trying to read, you know, where exactly to go, instead of just saying, okay, this is my option. Let me head full steam ahead. But it's a concern, man, because these are basically the same personnel. It's more or less the same personnel. It's the same offensive scheme. It's a better passing game. You would think that would open things up, but so far, no. And you know, while we talk about the Jets as a get right game for everybody else, the Jets are still a decent run defense, and this is an opportunity. This is a challenge for Buffalo's run game to hopefully get going. Because if not, then things are going to be it's going to be a long rest of the season. You know, they're starting to show those first 4 weeks. We thought that this was a passing game and an offense that could carry the team to victory when everything else was shut down. But the past 2 weeks have told us that's not quite the case.
Marcel, it's funny how quickly things change in this league. Because yesterday, Danger and I get on the air and we're looking at the standings like, you know what, Miami, don't rule these guys out. And then they make the quarterback switch. And then today, and I'm sure you saw the comments, heard them from Ryan Fitzpatrick bemoaning his fate, which, boy, that leads you to think that not everything is right down there. What do you make of the whole change in Miami and Fitzpatrick's comments today?
It doesn't make a ton of sense to me. I think the Dolphins are in a position to contend for the AFC East title. You know, this is not it's not the floundering team that a lot of people were expected. I think they're starting to gel very quickly. And I don't think you can discount Ryan Fitzpatrick's role in kind of accelerating that chemistry. He's very popular down there. He's very well liked. And the fact that, you know, a lot of people, the popular reaction to this Tua conversation was, well, there's no one better than Ryan Fitzpatrick to teach the other guy the ropes. But when you start to hear, okay, actually that guy is not happy about this decision. He's not thrilled about this. How is that going to affect the locker room, especially if the Dolphins start losing games? So that really, it's a head scratcher to me. But at the same time, you know, you did invest a high draft pick on this kid, Tua. You like what you see from him in practice, and you think he gives you a more dynamic way to win games, then, you know, I guess why not? See what you got in the guy.
Marcel Louis-Jacques covering the Bills for ESPN's NFL Nation at ESPN.com. Marcel, what can we go check out on the site this week?
Got something publishing in the morning about, you know, Josh Allen's struggles, and there's not really a other way to put it. His struggles against the better teams that Buffalo plays over the last 3 years, 1-6 against teams at least three games over 500. And that one win was against the Steelers last year who were starting Duck Hodges. So it's something that, you know, he'll be fine. Brian Daboll says he'll be fine. But that is something that can't define him moving forward. They're going to have to beat good teams. That's a given. And especially his play cannot deteriorate like it has over these seven games, or specifically like it has over the past two, whenever that competition turns up.
Marcel, I'm going to ask you a question. I don't know if you know the answer, but the fact that the Bills still do not have fans, we're a couple weeks away, a week and a half away from that Patriot game. State of California says okay now on outside venues, which means Santa Clara County, you could see 49er fans. New Orleans, the city of New Orleans, is allowing fans now in the Superdome. Where are we at right now? Has anything changed in regards to getting a few fans in Orchard Park for that next game?
As far as I know, nothing has changed. You got to, once again, remember the circumstances here, that New York was a world super hub for this virus. And I think that's something that I don't talk to Governor Cuomo, and I'm not inside that office, but I think it's something that very heavily weighs on his mind, because who in their right mind wouldn't? Imagine you are responsible for the largest city in the United States. You're responsible for, you know, one of the most important states from an economic standpoint. And this whole thing kicked off because your state was out of control. And as you're starting to see other states throughout the country that are allowing fans in, that are laxing these restrictions, you're seeing cases spike. Even if you're doing the right thing, you don't want cases to spike in your state again. And like, fans, like, I understand you want to see football games, you want to see games, but like, it gets to a point where, like, good God, guys, like, there are lives at stake here. Like, you can watch the Bills on TV, they ain't going anywhere. You can watch these games next season if it comes to that. But, like, just be patient here. You know, like, it'll happen if it's safe. And if it's not, it won't. But realize, you know, it's out of your control, except in this one regard, just to continue to wear masks, continue to socially distance from, you know, from people, and continue to be as safe as you possibly can be. That's all you can do right now if you even want to hope of this. But I promise you, your angry tweets are not going to change his mind.
Marcel, great with your time as always, man. I appreciate it. And let's do it again next week.
Absolutely. I'll be here.
You got it, right. Marcel Louis-Jacques, covering the Bills for ESPN.com. Doing a great job.
Interesting. Always. I feel like I'm a smarter Bills observer when we talk to Marcel. Hopefully you got something out of that, too.
NFL appetizers on the way next. News and notes from around the NFL. Before we get to that, another trade. The New York Jets sending their outside linebacker Jordan Willis to the 49ers. I mean, they're just cleaning house.
Wow.
The Jets moved another defensive piece. It's almost like they're punishing Greg.
Fine. That's great. Another thing the Bills don't have to game plan for.
Yeah.
We've got so the Bills, the Quentin Spain story, we'll tell you about that. We've got news from New Orleans, from the Panthers, a former Buffalo Bill, Robert Foster, landing with another team. We'll tell you that too.
All that coming up next. NFL appetizers in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.